If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to be skipping Daniel chapter 5, and I'll be coming back to it tomorrow night. But today, I want to talk about Daniel chapter 6 and the idea of how to be consistent in Babylon. I want you to think about something. One of the hardest things about Christianity is being consistent. Think about it. Anybody can do something once, but to continue to do it is a challenge. I mean, it's easy to read the Bible one day, one week, even a month. I don't know if you ever try, like, man, you know, you start to get excited about, okay, I need to read the Bible more, and you start that Bible program on your app, and you know, the first day is easy, the first week is easy, the first month, you're like, okay, I'm struggling right now. And then to read it through the whole year is really difficult. It's really hard to stay consistent. Or what about just saying no to sin on an everyday basis? It's easy to say no the first time, but to continue to do it is really difficult. Or what about just doing good deeds? Like, it's so easy to be a good Samaritan and a good neighbor one day, but just to be a consistent good Samaritan is a challenge, especially in Babylon. Babylon, or the world, makes it difficult for us to be consistent. Think about maybe this illustration or this metaphor. You know, think about camp. And all of us, in one way or another, have been to camp. Maybe some of the older ones haven't. But think about it. In camp, really easy to say no to sin. Really easy to serve and to be a good Samaritan. Really easy to read the Bible. But then you're taken out of camp and you're thrown into the real world. Man, it's really hard to be consistent. And that's kind of where Daniel and his friends are. They're not in camp anymore. They're not in Israel anymore. Now they're in Babylon, and things are difficult, and it's really hard to be consistent. But I want you to think about it. Consistency is hard. Yet, Jesus says it is the mark of a true disciple. We have to be consistent. Do you remember the words in John 8, 31 and 32? You don't have to turn there. We'll get to Daniel 6 in just a second. It says there, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who have believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What's the mark of a real disciple? It's not the initial belief. It is if we continue in the words of Jesus, or consistency. Now, what does this have to do with Daniel chapter 6? Well, the thing that we long for, the thing that we want, two times in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is described as somebody who serves God consistently or continually. Look with me there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Look at me. It says there, then the king gave order, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. And again in verse 20, the king says, when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lion? See, two times in this text, he's described as a consistent servant of God. Well, what can we learn about how to be consistent, or what consistency looks like from Daniel chapter 6? I want to break up the story into four parts. We're going to first look at consistency among busyness. Then we're going to look at consistency of character. Then we're going to look at consistency in devotion. And then finally, we're going to look at the blessing of consistency. So start with me in Daniel chapter 6. And let's read 1 through 3 here. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So in verse 1, we see that a new kingdom is in town. You know, we're no longer under the Babylonian Empire. We're under the Medo-Persian Empire. And Darius kind of has this system of government. And there are 120 satraps. And on top of these 20 satraps, he has three commissioners, which Daniel is one of them. But it became evident after a while that Daniel distinguished himself among the three commissioners. And the king wants to appoint him as head. I don't know, so that the king doesn't have anything to do? I mean, that's kind of what it looks like to me. But I want you to notice two things about Daniel. Number one, Daniel had a very important job. I mean, 120 individuals were accountable to him. And also, Daniel stood out in the job or in the work that he was doing. In other words, Daniel was a busy man. And in spite of the fact that he was busy, he had an important job, and he stood out at his job, he prayed three times a day, and he was somebody of integrity. I imagine that his job, like any job, demanded time and effort, that there were many times where he was under a lot of pressure, but in spite of that, he dedicated himself three times to prayer, and he was a man of integrity. Now, why is that very important? What is the number one excuse of why we are not more consistent? What's the number one excuse of why we're not more consistent? Hey, man, I'm busy. Life is hard. It's too demanding. There's a lot of pressure. Daniel could have made up any of these excuses. He had an important job, but instead, he served the Lord consistently. And if Daniel, in his circumstances, in his busyness, could serve the Lord consistently, then we, in our modern-day busyness, can also serve the Lord consistently. Now, what helped Daniel remain consistent among the busyness? What helped Daniel do that? I think, like we've been emphasizing this week, Daniel knew what would remain. Daniel knew that the most important thing was not to climb the corporate ladder. He knew that the most important thing was not to please his boss. He knew that the most important thing, that the only thing that would remain, would be God and his kingdom. Well, how did Daniel knew that? Well, think about, in one man's lifetime, he saw the rise of the Babylonian Empire, and then he saw the what? The fall of that same empire. Can you imagine the kind of impression that would have left on you? Man, seeing an empire at its height, at its most powerful, and then all of a sudden, in your same lifetime, that empire or that kingdom is gone. You know what that would have taught you? That all of men's accomplishment would decay, and that they are temporal. Well, how does that help us with our busyness? Man, too many of us are over-investing in things that will not remain. I just want you to think about a couple of things. Things that we're over-investing in that are just not going to remain. Think about video games for just a second. Now, I remember, and I don't know who's old enough and who was playing video games back then, to remember a video game called Final Fantasy VII. Now, if back in my day, Final Fantasy VII was an RPG game, and it was pretty popular. And I was really good at Final Fantasy VII. I remember that there were some optional bosses that you had to beat in Final Fantasy VII. And I remember spending hours leveling up to fight these weapons. That's what they were called. Well, not very red. These weapons. And I remember spending hours and hours leveling up to get strong enough to go and fight these weapons. And man, I leveled up enough, and I went and I fought them, my cousin celebrated, and today nobody knows what I'm talking about. I mean, think about that. That wasn't even that long ago. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but I remember just pouring days and hours. And back in those days, they used to tell you how many hours you spent in the video game playing it. So I knew how many hours I wasted of my life. I want you to think about this. You, some of you, are over-investing playing video games. And in a few years, nobody will care. Nobody will care how high your level was. Nobody will care, you know, how skilled you are at that. There will be a new game, and that game will be left behind. Stop over-investing in things that will not remain. That's how you stay consistent among the busyness.
Well, some of us are just over-investing in our companies. Do you guys remember a company called Kmart? Are there any of those around in Indiana? I remember back in New York, they must have closed the last one. But there used to be a thing called Kmart, and they used to be big and popping. They used to be the Walmart.
And that too passed away. And I imagine nobody thought, Kmart, Kmart, that's never going away. That's a powerful company. Listen, I don't know how much time you're spending in your work. But let me tell you, you're over-investing in a company that sooner or later will pass away. Stop being so busy with it and focus on God and His kingdom. Some of us are over-investing in our homes, you know, trying to make it look pretty. And every day we're just getting on Pinterest or Instagram. I don't know that's not my area, you know. Like, you know, you're just looking about, okay, how to get it pretty, how to hang this curtain, how to do this, how to do that. Listen, your home is going to pass away. We need to stop over-investing in empires and in things that will not remain. That's how we stay consistent among busyness. Because if we're honest, too many of us are just too busy with things that will not remain. And if we're able to scale back or just outright eliminate, we will have a lot more time for the Lord.
We need to remember the words that Jesus told Martha in Luke 10, 41 and 42. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's invest in those things that will not be taken away from us. Well, as Daniel starts to rise, in verse 4, we see the reaction to that. It says, then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to government affairs. But they could not find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regards to the law of his God. So as one man is exalted, you know, envy comes out in others. And we're going to call them Daniel co-workers because that's just easier to pronounce for me than satraps. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But, you know, they're just filled with jealousy and with envy, and they try to bring Daniel down. And what do? They kind of become like Daniel's, private investigators. And they try to figure out if Daniel had done anything wrong. And I imagine they look into his social life to see if he did something wrong, and there's nothing there. Then they look into his government affairs to see if they found something wrong, and there was nothing there. And they look through his Twitter to see if he said something wrong, and there was nothing there. And they look through his online profile, and there's nothing there. And they're frustrated because this man has consistency of character. Everywhere they look, he's the same man. In his social settings, online, on Twitter, no matter where he is, there's consistency of character. Man, that's so important today. What does consistency look like? Man, we're going to talk about consistency of devotion. And maybe when we think of Daniel chapter 6, That's what we mostly think about. Man, Daniel was dedicated to prayer 3 times a day. He was just so consistent. But man, one of the things you notice about Daniel is that Daniel was consistent in his life. He had consistency of character. There was nothing bad in regards to his work, professional life, his social life, or any other thing. What about us? Do we have consistency of character? Are we the same people in different contexts? Or will we not like different groups to meet each other? Because one group knows one thing about me and the other group does not. You know, my blood family, they know this about me, but my church family doesn't, and I don't want them to meet. Because that would be scary. You know, my friends at school, they know that I curse, but my friends at church, they don't. So you're kind of scared for these two groups of people to meet each other. You know, my coworkers, they know that I drink, but everybody else doesn't. And we start to get nervous when maybe these two groups of people are going to meet with each other because we don't have consistency of character. Do we have the mentality, what happens somewhere stays somewhere? You know, what I do online and then what I do in regular life, they're just two separate kinds of things. A lot of that just shows a lack of consistency of in our character. And I want to just warn you about, and I think we're all learning this more and more, as our society is learning the importance of consistency of character. You know, I think about cases like Bill Cosby or all the men who have been called out on the Me Too campaign. You know, you're starting to realize, man, if you have no consistency of character, sooner or later, people are going to find out who you are. Let me tell you something. I don't know how you're living. If you're living a double life, if you're living one life online and the other one regularly, or one person, you're one person at work and something somewhere else. But let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you're going to be found out. So why don't you just do this? Why don't you just come out and repent and talk to some of your loved ones and say, hey, I'm struggling with this and I need help. And man, that's a lot better than when everything comes out and your character is destroyed. That means if you're living this double life, there needs to be some repenting and some confession that you need to do. May God help us to have the consistency of character that Daniel had. Well, I'm going to summarize Daniel chapter 6, 7 through 9. So Daniel's co-workers come up with a plan to bring Daniel down. They go to King Darius and tell him to make a special decree that no one else is allowed to pray to any other god except to Darius. Well, Darius thought, that sounds like a good idea. Prayers towards me for 30 days? So he makes the decree that for 30 days you can only pray to Darius. And if you pray to anyone else, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And that this decree cannot be changed. That's an emphasis in the text. So they make this decree because they know that Daniel is so consistent, that he loves God so much, that he's going to continue to pray. Well, what does Daniel do after he hears about the decree? Look at verse 10 here. It says that when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. So what does Daniel do after the decree? He does what he always does. He goes to his room and he prays, just like he always did. See, Daniel had consistency of devotion. And think about how precious, or I don't know if the best word is precious, but how important this habit was to him. I mean, the decree is only 30 days. He could have just stopped praying for 30 days and not be in trouble, but prayer is so important to him that this would have been too long. Or, you know, he could have been prayed quietly, but he knows that that would have shown fear rather than faith. Amen. And he continues to pray even though he knows it's going to cost him his life. Now, why was this habit so important to him? Why was he willing to continue to devote himself to prayer three times a day in spite of the decree? Let me tell you what I think about. I don't know if this is the point or not, but when I thought about three times a day, that's about the amount of time we normally eat. I don't know if people back then ate three times a day. It could be that we just eat three times a day because we just eat too much, right? Now, think about this idea of him praying three times a day. You know, Daniel knew what really sustained him, that it was not food, but prayer. It was his devotion to the Lord. You know, sometimes we have such a hard time being consistent with our devotional life, our prayer, our Bible study, because we forget what really sustains us. Somebody said that you can divide all of life into three areas. Somebody says, you know, there is your professional life, you know, your job, your school. You have your social life, which is, you know, your friends and your family. And then you have your spiritual life, you know, your devotion to God, right? And think about out of these three areas, you know, professional life, social life, and spiritual life. When life starts to get busy, what life do we start to start squeezing out? Isn't it our spiritual life? Because, you know, hey, there are deadlines at work. You know, there are diapers to change, there are kids to feed, and, you know, there are friends to talk to. You know, family can't wait. And we kind of like, in the midst of the busyness, we say the spiritual life can wait, but the professional life and the social life, they have to be taken care of. The only problem with this is this, that what sustains us for the other areas of our lives is our spiritual life. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. In your own life. I've noticed this in my own life. I am a worse dad and a worse husband whenever I am not consistently reading and when I am consistently praying. I don't know, you might be different, but that's the case with me. When I am not focused on the Lord, whenever I'm not praying, whenever I am not reading as I should, you know, man, I tend to have less patience at home. I tend to snap quicker, you know, because why? Because I don't have the thing that sustains me and that helps me to be a good father and a good husband. And it's the same way in a professional life. You know, whenever you're not connected to God at work, work starts to become too important. You start to get vicious. You do whatever it takes to advance in your career. Step on whoever you need to step because, hey, work is important. You forgot. What really sustains you. Man, in the midst of social life, spiritual life, professional life, don't forget what you really need, and that is the Lord. You need to be praying. You need to be doing Bible studies. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, it is written, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man, that's what really sustains us. So don't squeeze out your devotion to God when things get busy. Be consistent in the area of devotion. Well, what happens in the rest of the story? In 12 through 15, the accusers or his co-workers find Daniel exactly as they thought they would, praying. And they go and they accuse him before before the king. And let's read 16 through 18 over here. It says here, then the king gave orders and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, I'm saying that. Your God who you constantly serve will himself deliver you. A stone was brought and lay over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of his noble, so that nothing would be changed in regards to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. So, you know, they bring the accusation before Darius. Darius realizes, man, I got caught. They tricked me, you know. And he tries to get away to not have to kill Daniel, but he can't because the decree is unchangeable. And finally, he doesn't want to do it. He throws Daniel into the den with the hope that God can deliver him because he was not able to do so. And man, he can't sleep. Well, what happens next? So I'll read. Let me see. What time is it? 7:35. I got plenty of time. So the king in 19 to 21 comes to the den the next day. And look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Let me see if I, that's where I want to do. Yeah. Let's start in 21. So the king comes to the den, and in verse 20, he screams out and says, Daniel, has your God rescued you? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found in him because he had trusted in his God. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, their wives into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. And notice what Darius says about the God of Daniel. Then Darius the king wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominions of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his domain will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heavens and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. What do we learn from these verses about the blessing of consistency? What's the blessing of being consistent? Well, I think one of the ones you see here is deliverance. Why was Daniel delivered from the lion's den? Because he trusted in God. Because he consistently served him. You see, deliverance comes through serving God continually. Do you remember the verse that we started out with? John 8, 31 and 32. Listen to it again over here. And think about this idea of connection between deliverance and consistency. Notice what Jesus says. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who have believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And what happens when we continue in his word? And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is Jesus saying about consistently serving him? That if we continually serve him, we will experience freedom from sin. See, in the same way that Daniel was free from the lion's den because he served God continually, if we serve God continually, if we continue in his teaching, we will be delivered from sin. And maybe this is an important time to just stop and talk. Because maybe as I'm talking, you got it. You're like, wait a second. That's the problem. That's why I continue to struggle with sin. That's why I haven't been delivered. Because I just haven't been as consistent as I need to be. You know, maybe you're the kind of person who, you know, in your battle against sin, you're like, man, I'm going to try harder. And for the first day and the first week, you try really, really hard. And then, you know, then you fall again into sin, and you're like, what happened, man? You know, it's been a week since I've been trying really hard. That's the problem. It's only been a week. Man, if you're going to have true deliverance from sin, you're going to have to consistently say no to sin and obedience to God. And that's when you're going to start to see the deliverance. Man, don't think for one moment that, you know, you spend your whole life messing up with sin, giving into sin, and God in a matter of a day and a week is just going to deliver you. No, you're going to have to continue in his teaching, continue in his word, be consistent, and then you'll start to see the deliverance that God will bring into your life. We have to be consistent. It goes beyond just a week. It goes beyond just a month. We have to continually say no to sin in order for us to experience the deliverance that God wants us to see. Well, the other blessing of consistency was that Darius was able to know who the true God is. Did you notice that in 26 and 27? Man, after Daniel consistently serving the Lord, he says, man, I make a decree that all, that in all my dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues. See, it was after seeing Daniel consistently serve God and not compromise that Darius was able to see who the true God is. Now, this is an important lesson because some of you guys have loved ones, and you want them to see who the true God is. How are they going to see who the true God is? Through your consistency. They're waiting to see if you're real or not. They're waiting to see, and for them, it's going to take more than just a week or a month of you doing the right thing. They're watching to see if this is just a season in your life or if you're really going to stick with God and be consistent. Man, and if you are consistent, little by little, they will see the God who delivered you and who can also deliver them. But we're going to have to be consistent in our character, in our devotion to God, if they're going to see that. He was able to see that, Darius, because of the consistency of Daniel. And number three, the blessing of being consistent is that we will look like our Savior. Now, does this story of Daniel chapter 6 remind you of the story of Jesus Christ? There's just so many cool details here. But remember in verse 4, when they investigated Daniel, it says there no corruption was found in Daniel, just like no corruption was found in Jesus Christ. Then in verse 4, you see a group of powerful leaders who were jealous and who were plotting to kill Daniel, just like there were a group of men in leadership position who were jealous and they were plotting to kill Jesus. And remember in verse 14, the king tried to save Daniel, but he couldn't. Just like Pilate tried to save Daniel and they couldn't. And even a cooler detail, this is just, look at 17. When Daniel is put in the den, look at what happens. A stone was brought and lay over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the signet ring of his noble, so that nothing will be changed in regards to Daniel. Just like when Jesus died and his tomb was rolled and a signet ring was put on it. And think about it. The next day, you expect him to be dead, but what happens? He's alive again. This story is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When you serve God continually, man, our story, our life will remind people of who Jesus is. I want you to think about this. Isn't that what this world needs right now? More people who look and act like Jesus. You know, when I see the world today, I'm worried. And by the way, I was worried before COVID. I'm like, the world doesn't look very good. You know, you're like, you look out there and you're like, what's going on? You know what? You know, especially I think about I'm worried for my kids. Like, man, how are they going to make it? There's so much evil and so much badness out there. And I start to think about, hey, what do my kids need in order to make it? You know what my kids need? A father who looks and who acts like Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When I was 18 and I was lost in the sauce, you know what I needed back then? People who look and acted like Jesus. And when I saw people who look and acted like Jesus, that gave me hope and that saved me. And let me tell you, what do our kids need right now? You know, in the midst of all of that, they need parents who love God, who are consistent, and who consistently show them, who look like Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, our kids will be fine if they have parents who look and who love Jesus Christ. But we have to be consistent. We ain't gonna show them Jesus. They ain't gonna see the power of Jesus unless they see consistency in our character. May God help us to be consistent in Babylon, to be consistent even though it's a busy world, to be consistency in our character even though it's a corrupt world, to be consistent in our devotion so that we can experience the blessings of consistency. May God help us to do that.